As I've been coming to you, we've been working our way through Mark's Gospel. And we come this morning to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Mark 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak, he jumped to his feet. That's Bartimaeus jumping to his feet. And came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Jesus would increase your confidence in him. That's the purpose of our service this morning. Jesus wants to increase your confidence in him. Yes, he knows the situation. He knows what the church is going through. He knows that throughout Wales, the church is in a weak condition. Yes, be sure, Jesus is very powerful. He is more than able to meet our needs. He is able to reverse the decline. Do you believe that? Yes. Jesus is so powerful, he can pour out his Holy Spirit and can reverse the decline. God invites you, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." God invites us in our weakness to call on him, and he promises he will deliver us. Have confidence in Jesus. Now, let's set the scene. Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem to die in your place. If he wanted to avoid it, he could have stayed up in Galilee and he would have been perfectly safe. But he's determined. He loves you so much. He walks to Jerusalem, knowing that they will kill him. Now he's at Jericho. Jericho is 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Now Jericho is 3,300 feet below Jerusalem. So there's the whole height of Mount Snowdon between Jericho and Jerusalem. And there's a dangerous road climbing up from Jericho. Remember in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man was mugged and beaten up and robbed and left for dead on that road. Today, if you go to Jericho, it's a little paradise, full of palm trees, full of rose gardens. And the climate in winter is a lot better than our damp Welsh climate. Now, Jesus and literally thousands. William Barclay reckons there were 2 million people going to Jerusalem. So huge crowds are marching up the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And as they climb up the road, they sing psalms. They're called the Psalms of Ascents. The psalms you sing as you're climbing up to Jerusalem. And you know some of them. The Psalms are 120 to 134. "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? come from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So picture Jesus in the middle of the road, and then his disciples, and then this massive crowd are following him. Beside this road is poor blind Bartimaeus begging. Now here we have a problem in the Gospels, and when we have a problem in the Gospels, we need to face it head on. Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus is leaving Jericho when he heals Bartimaeus. And Luke says Jesus was approaching Jericho. And the critics are quick to cry a contradiction. So let's put it in context. Jesus is on his way, he's entered Jericho, he's on his way to Jerusalem. You put it in context, he meets Zacchaeus, the little man up the sycamore tree. And he says, coming to stay in your house. So Jesus returns. He's leaving Jericho, and now with Zacchaeus, he returns to approach Jericho again. And as he's approaching Jericho, he meets Bartimaeus. So yes, Jesus is leaving Jericho, and yes, he's approaching it for a short while. No contradiction. Now Matthew tells us that Bartimaeus had a friend who was also blind, and they stuck together in friendship. But the Gospels focus on Bartimaeus. He's the leader of the friendship group. So my first point is very simple. Jesus stops for those who call on him. And that's wonderful. Jesus, who made heaven and earth, who's eternal, stops when you call on him. Bartimaeus is miserable. He's a nobody. He doesn't even have his own name. Bartimaeus just means son of Timaeus. So he goes through life and he's called Timothy's son. He doesn't even have a name of his own. And the crowds are surging up the road to Jerusalem. Jesus is determined to go there. And there's this sad man in perpetual darkness. And he's got no hope. A miserable life, hoping that he can just get enough food by begging. And all he's got to look forward to all his life is sitting in darkness, hoping that people will give him a few pennies. Now these blind beggars hear the crowd singing, and they get the excitement of the crowd, and they say, what's happening? What's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is passing through. Now Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus. He'd heard that he could heal lepers. He'd heard that he just raised Lazarus from the dead. From death. He'd heard that Jesus had healed blind people. Remember Jesus' mission statement when he started out on his preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I wish all preachers could say that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Bartimaeus' excitement grew. Jesus is passing through. In a few minutes, he will be gone. Here is the only chance in my life to be healed. He's not going to let it go. And he shouts from the top of his voice. He's going to grab this opportunity. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Mercy is wonderful. It means that God looks at you this morning. God has compassion on you. God sees your condition. God stretches out his hand to help you. And he calls Jesus Son of David. Son of David is dangerous. It's a messianic term. He's calling Jesus the promised Messiah. It's time for all Israel to recognize Jesus, and Jesus accepts the title. Now, the crowd is excited. Jesus, with his crowds, is going up to Jerusalem, and there are the authorities who are determined to kill Jesus, so there's bound to be a confrontation. Who's going to win? Jesus and his crowds, or the authorities with their police force and their soldiers? And now this beggar is stopping Jesus, and they want to see the action. Shut up, Bartimaeus! But Bartimaeus is not going to shut up. He's got one opportunity, and he's going to make the most of it. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Now here's the great thing. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Friends, Jesus is the same today. He stops for those in this church who call out to him. This is the miracle of prayer, that I, in my need, in my weakness, in my sin, can call on Almighty God. Jesus, yes, is determined to keep moving to Jerusalem. But it's time for this blind beggar who calls to him. Jesus was willing to stop. This is the wonder of our faith, that the Son of God, who listened to this blind beggar, will listen to you. Do you believe that this morning? That when you call to Jesus, he will listen to you. Jesus is not so wrapped up in the pain that he's going to experience in a few days' time that he won't listen. Today, he stops for all who will listen. He listens to our prayers. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Therefore, call on him. Start your day with prayer. When I was a pastor and busy diary, I used to open my diary and go through every appointment in prayer to start the day. Start the day with prayer. Come as a church. You're busy. But I can tell you as a pastor that when my churches were united in prayer, when we made that our priority, it was then that the Holy Spirit fell upon us, and we saw conversions and we saw growth. Come together as a church to call on Jesus. He will listen to you. So my first point is simple. Jesus stops for those who call on him. My second point is also simple. Those who call on Jesus encounter God's power. When you call on Jesus, you experience God's power. So Jesus is in the middle of the road. The crowds are following him. They are singing these psalms of ascent, and all stops. And the singing stops, and everyone turns to Jesus. And Jesus says, call Bartimaeus. And the crowds turn to Bartimaeus and say, cheer up. On your feet, he's calling for you. And Bartimaeus is full of hope and expectation. Could this be the day when I get my sight back? Could I be healed today? I had a man in my last church, and he was blind. And a doctor offered him an operation so he could see. And his wife thought, he's never seen me. Will he like me when he opens his eyes? They're still married, and they've got three kids. So he must like it. Anyway, Bartimaeus is full of hope, throwing aside his cloak. Now just think, that cloak is the only thing he's got to keep him warm at night and to stop the sun beating on him in the daytime. So Bartimaeus is so excited, he jumps to his feet. Someone must have led him to Jesus. Peter told this story to the crowds, the congregation, in Rome. And he told it vividly. Peter liked telling vivid stories. And Mark heard it and wrote it down. And that's why we got his gospel. Jesus simply says, what do you want? Jesus knows our needs. And yet he wants us to express our needs in prayer. He knows our needs. He knows the needs of the church. And yet he wants us to come to him in prayer and tell him our needs. Because as we do that, the Holy Spirit can change our thinking. And as we do that, we can have fellowship with Almighty God. And as we do that, he can unite us together. So Jesus knows your needs, but he still wants you to express those needs in prayer. What he wants is, Jesus, beggars want money. How much money do you want? In Greek, Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, my teacher. Now that's a name the Jews give to God, and it goes well with Son of David, the Messiah, God. Jesus, my teacher. Jesus replies, well, Bartimaeus says, I long to see, everything else is secondary. And Jesus replies, go, your faith has made you whole. And this word, immediately, 1 minute, it's darkness, a miserable future. And next, he can see colors, excitement, see the crowds, marvelous. Bartimaeus is overwhelmed with wonder, with joy. Jesus has done what no doctors can do. No surprise that he followed Jesus along the road. He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be with those who love Jesus. Isn't Jesus so powerful? In calling to Jesus, Bartimaeus encountered the power of God. Bartimaeus contributed nothing to his healing. He came to Jesus in his desperate need, and there's no other way to come to Jesus but on the basis of our need. The church will die unless you give us your Holy Spirit, and his power will meet our need. When we call to Jesus, we encounter the power of God. Bartimaeus in his weakness, and yet he knew the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's healing flowed into his life, broke into time. The eternal kingdom of God broke into time. He was touched with God. And that is why I ask you to come as a church in united prayer. The kingdom of God might break into this church and through you into Holyhead. Today, if you take this seriously and you call upon God, you as a church can encounter the power of God. Jesus comes in power, and with Jesus comes forgiveness. Power over sin that's dragged us down. With Jesus comes this comfort. I am loved. And God is committed to me. He's never going to dump me. And God, and with, when I call on Jesus, he restores me to a secure relationship with Father God. Above all, when I call on Jesus and repent of my sin, he saves me for the wrath to come. All men are under the wrath of God. The people in Holyhead who are indifferent to Jesus are under the wrath of God until they come to God in repentance. So, a simple message. When we call on Jesus, we encounter the power of God. And it underlines, therefore, come. Come individually and come as a church. Two simple points. Jesus stops for those who call. And those who call encounter the power of God. And lastly, Jesus would increase your faith, your confidence in him this morning. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, go, your faith has healed you. You are healed physically. You are healed spiritually. You are healed mentally. Now, faith is God's gift. God gives you the gift of faith, and it comes through reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. And that is why I underline again, I wish that all of you, before you left this church, would make a commitment to begin each day by reading the Word of God, even if it's only a short passage. I read a passage and then I read it again to make sure I understand it, and then I read it a third time just to apply it to my life. And in the application of the Word of God to my life, I found the presence of Jesus. Start the day like that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is God's gift. It shows you you're not on your own, and that as a church, Jesus is with you. Jesus works to increase your confidence in Him. He always does that. Remember when He met that woman at Samaria? She looked at Him and said, "A Jew," and immediately the barriers went up. And then Jesus increased her faith. A Jew that loves me. A Jew that's promising me living water so that I will be satisfied. I've had 6 marriages and I'm not satisfied. A Jew that promises me the living water. And He knows all about my past. He knows I've had 6 husbands and now I'm living with a guy. He's a prophet. And then she goes on to say, He's not only a prophet, He's the Christ. And she saw He was the Christ before the 12 apostles saw He was the Christ. And He was the Savior of the world. Do you see how Jesus starts talking to her? And little by little, He increases her faith in Him. And that's what He wants to do for you as a church. Sometimes Jesus does this through a miracle. He allows the disciples to get on a boat, and the boat does almost sink. And then Jesus stands up and speaks to the waves, and they are quiet. That's marvelous. And the disciples says, "Who is this? Who is this that can speak to wind and waves?" And there in the boat, they worshipped Him. He worked to increase their confidence in Him. Yes, we are facing tough times. And that's why it's important you come together as a Bible study and prayer. Because Jesus wants to show you that He's more than able to meet your needs. More than able to meet the needs of Britain. You've heard that Jesus had compassion on Bartimaeus. Does He not have compassion on you as you seek to bring the gospel to Holyhead? You've heard that Jesus has power to heal. Can He not heal the people of Holyhead when they encounter Jesus? And faith in Jesus heals our anxieties, heals our fears for the future. So Jesus brings us together to increase our confidence in Him. Now I've got a friend, got more than one, but this friend had early retirement. And she came to me and says, "Pastor, how can I use my early retirement?" She reached the top of her career. I don't want to, she was 55, just play golf. I want to be used by God. And so we prayed. And Anita went to China to teach English as a foreign language. And she set up a school to do that. And she encouraged young Chinese believers and older third age university Chinese. And then the church was growing. And then President Xi Jinping has put the clamp on Christians. If you have a notice board in your church with the Ten Commandments on them, and the first commandment says, "You shall have no gods before me," the soldiers march into your church and take that commandment down and put a picture of Xi Jinping. He rules, not God. And parents are told that if you pray with your children could be taken away. And it's a big notice outside churches, no children, no teachers, no soldiers can go to church. And as I said, neighbours are encouraged to tell the priests if they hear any singing or praying from your house. And school teachers are told to report to police on children who read the Bible or pray. And my friend says, how can the church survive? And Jesus wants to increase her faith. You know, I was converted in communist China, and when I was there under Mao Zedong, the persecution was a lot worse. There were bonfires of Bibles in the streets. There were flags over the street. This is a God-free zone. Most of the pastors were in prison. And we thought, I was taken to communes under armed guard, let me tell you. And if you prayed with your children were taken away and put in these communes so they would be brought up to know there was no God. And on our ship, there was a loudspeaker telling us how great communism was all the time. How could Christianity survive? And yet, when the curtains were opened and we saw what the church was like, it had grown tenfold, and churches have been strengthened. And I want my friend to see that God allows Xi Jinping to rant and to rave for a while, but only for a while, and that Jesus is eternal, and Jesus is stronger, and Jesus is able to give to his Christians who are going through the furnace his presence and his peace, and strengthen the church through this. Have confidence in Jesus. Though the government defies God, no ruler can last too long who defies Almighty God. What about our country, where everything is done to privatize Christianity, to marginalize Christianity? I was reading about a pupil who was thrown out of his class and thrown out of school for saying that there are only two genders. His name is Murray. He goes to school in Aberdeen, and now he's been told to stay away from school. His teacher told him not to share that opinion with the class. Keep that opinion to yourself and to your own house. To say that there are only two genders, it's obvious. And that's what's happening in our country. And that's why we need to have a confidence in Jesus, that Jesus will vindicate the word of God. What easily happens, he allows a country to drift from the word of God and get itself into a mess. And then when it's in this awful mess, he calls together little groups of Christians who pray. And through the prayers of these little groups, he brings a new ministry. He anoints people with authority. So when they speak, people who are indifferent before know themselves in the presence of Almighty God. And people who are indifferent, if you read the history of Wales, miners who were laughing one minute, next minute, fell on their knees. It was as if the atmosphere was pregnant with the presence of Jesus. And then they went down their mines an hour early to have prayer meetings and praise meetings. So God waits for us to call on him. And in answer to our prayers, he anoints, he calls people into the ministry, and people are convicted of sin. That sin, which is now laughed at, is now real. God shows us it's real. and he convicts people of a judgment to come, and he convicts people of the righteousness of Jesus. And when the church thought it was all over and people were laughing at the church, God pours out his Spirit. Look at Pentecost. The day started with 120 frightened disciples and ended with 3,000 people crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" And by the time you finish in Acts, there are 50,000 people crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" So Jesus would increase your faith, your confidence in him, in his power, to reverse the decline. "Call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." And always after the conviction, there comes times of overwhelming joy and overwhelming praise. And this is when our hymns were written, in times of revival. So Bartimaeus followed Jesus along the road. He wants to be with Jesus. And he wants to be in his company, and he wants to be in the company of those who love him. Does that describe you? You want to be in Jesus' company and in the company of those that love him. So three simple points. Jesus stops for those who call out to him. You've come to church. Now come to Jesus and call out to him. And when you call out to Jesus, you encounter the power of God, and the kingdom of God breaks into your church and into your lives. Don't you want that? And Jesus knows the situation, knows what the church is going through, and in these days he works to increase your confidence, so that though we're going through tough times, we know that Jesus is able to meet our needs and turn the situation around. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple story, but we thank you even more for Jesus, that we can turn to him and cry to him. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. Our last hymn.